Have you learned something from a first impression? Something that sticks with you even to this day? I actually talk about that with the guest for this week. But before we do that, I just want to remind you that you are listening to Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101, and I am your host, Eric Jean-Baptiste, where we are all on this proverbial journey together, learning from one another, mentoring each other, and just listening and growing together. If there's something that can be gleaned from talking with youth experts, youth leaders from all around the world, and just people from every generation who have experiences, is the fact that just listening can help you be a better person in interacting with any person of any generation. So just want to remind you, you can follow me on Instagram at youth_mentor101, where you can find snippets of this podcast. And of course, the link tree that leads you to the Facebook page, the YouTube, and this podcast that you're listening to right now, and that you can listen to wherever you listen to podcasts. So this week I speak with Pastor Talaine Buisson, who is an awesome pastor who is working in New York right now. And we start off our conversation by reminiscing of the first impression I got from her, meeting her in Orlando. And it leads to an interesting conversation. So it's something that sticks with me to this day and helped me be aware and cognizant of how I interact with people and to be well aware in what I say and what I do. Well, check out this episode right after the ad. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. I am with Pastor Talaine. How are you doing today, sister? How are you doing today, Pastor? I did that on purpose.
Right? Yeah, you did. I'm blessed, Brother Eric.
All right. Awesome. So if you could give us a short bio about yourself and what led you to you where you are now in ministry.
All right, a short bio. I am from Brooklyn, New York, right? And my bloodline is from the strongest people on earth who gained their independence, the first black country, which is Haiti. So I'm Haitian. Praise the Lord. Okay, that's the best thing. I have a mom and a dad.
That's right.
I have siblings. I have three brothers and two sisters. Yeah, it's us. And that's all. No, I'm joking. Okay. I have a bachelor's in media technology from Andrews University. And I have my master's of divinity from Andrews University. I used to teach. I taught science, history, social studies, graphic design because of my background. I was a hospital chaplain in Dayton, Ohio, in Brooklyn. I was a principal's assistant, chief of staff at Boys and Girls High School. You're making me go back, it's been years. And what else do? I pastored in a few churches in Michigan, of course, New York, and Brooklyn, Far Rockaway, Long Island. Right now, I'm the associate pastor at Sinai French SDA Church in Spring Valley, New York. I am an international chaplain licensed, so I can go anywhere and minister in hospitals, prisons, wherever God leads me. I have a drama team where we do dramatization anywhere where God leads us. And I'm married to Jesus, you know, but I have a boo too. Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord. Amen.
Yes. And I think that's it.
Wow. I mean, anyone who's listening was like, wow, look at all that she has accomplished in ministry. What a blessing. Which is a great segue to a story I wanted to talk to you about, in the fact that We were at Yaha, which was, I think, around 2 years ago or so. And you were going to be our speaker for our rally. And a Haitian pastor, I was right there next to him, approached you. And he said, he referred to you as sister. And you corrected him and said, pastor. And that was an interesting exchange. But I wanted to get your insight because I think you kind of explained why you said that. I wanted some insight also in that, you know, to, why that happened.
Well, was it the rally? No, I don't think it was the rally. I think it was the 60th anniversary in Florida.
Yes. It wasn't, it wasn't Yaha. It was, yes, it was that. Yes, in Orlando.
In Orlando, yeah, that's what it was. Actually, even I was shocked myself for responding like that. I usually don't. So it was just, I don't know why it came out so strong and at that point. But then, now that you're saying it, and I think I know what it was because, you know, I'm not okay. Because I was there amongst other pastors and stuff like that. You know, I just saw how they were getting better preferences or, you know, I was like put on the wayside kind of, which, you know, I don't mind doing God's work, but when it's done deliberately, I'm like, hey, we all study together. You know, I respect you, so respect me. But Pastor Francis, he respects everyone, right? So I didn't, it's like, I think I took out my frustration towards him when that came. So I was like, you know what? You know, this is my profession. I am a pastor, you know? And some people would deliberately do it and say, oh, sister, and they don't want to say pastor. I don't mind. I am a sister. I don't mind people calling me sister. But when they do it deliberately because they feel as though I don't deserve the title or they feel as though a woman should be a pastor, that's a whole nother level right there. Because if somebody studies medicine in, you know, in school, whether female or male, you still respect them, call them doctor. So
yeah.
Does that make sense?
That makes absolutely perfect sense. And it's something that is stuck to my mind ever since in the fact that I have to watch myself too. I think I'm being honest. I think it's something that I think it opened my eyes in that I have to be careful and pay attention so that I don't not only not add to that frustration that somebody may be having when people are deliberately doing, but to recognize. And I think that's something our community does very well when it comes to people who are educated and recognized. My dad, I grew up having my dad calling his best friends that he grew up with when they were pastors, his best friends that were doctors, he called them doc. Like, he didn't even call them by their first names. That's what I grew up with. So it's something that I feel like I that was one of the times that I said, you know what, from now on, no matter what, you know, if somebody's younger than me and they're a doctor, I call them doctor. If they're a pastor, woman or male, I call them pastor. So thank you, pastor, for sharing that story.
No, but at the same time, because we know you, you have a pure heart. You know, you wouldn't do it deliberately. I am your sister. You are my brother. You understand? So I don't want you to be afraid. You could say sister to Lane. I have no problem.
I know. But I want... Because this is what I think this is what's so good about this story. I want people who, because I think with my platform comes responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I want people to see and say, you know, I wasn't an addition to the way things are. I was different. So I wanna be different. I wanna not use my platform for privilege and take advantage and say, you know, I can call her sister and stuff like, no, I want to be one of the people that help and establish. And so, because I mean, like, you just went through so many things. You have done so much for the Lord. It is so powerful. And it's like, we have to recognize that. We have to say, you are a servant of the Lord. And so that what's going to lead me to my next question. I know we're going down this road, but I'm sorry. It's just what God is calling me. It's, I'm feeling it. That's what he's telling me to talk about is, do you feel like as a woman in ministry that you did have to do even more hoops and things like that so that you could be recognized? Yeah.
Well, when you began the show, you asked me what led me into ministries. I didn't go into it yet. And that is going to, you know, introduce what I'm going to say for what you just asked. I got into ministry. Before I got into ministry, I grew up believing, it was taught to me that it was an abomination for a woman to be a pastor. So it was never in my heart to be a minister, never, because I thought it was wrong. But while I was at Andrews, when I finished my undergrad, I heard it so clearly. God spoke to me clearly, and I made a bet with God. I lost the bet, and that's why I entered the seminary. And I had to just be obedient. You know, I won't go into details, you know, just in case if somebody invite me and God want me to share that you know, that specific thing, I'm going to go into details. But he called me. And because he called me through my journey, from seminary, it that's where it begins. The moment you say yes to God, that means you're saying no to the devil. You say no to his traps, to his plans. And the moment you do that, oh my gosh, you will automatically get attacked. And if you're not truly called from God or for God, you will literally go crazy. And so when obstacles do come, or when you see favoritism in classrooms, or when you're working underneath a senior pastor, it hurts. And it's not that you want to work extra hard for them or to prove, but it's actually, I'm working hard because this is what God called me to do. Because if I have put in my mentality, I need to keep proving, I would never be approved. Yeah. Because it's not for them. Because no matter how good I may be, they will always find a fault in what I do.
Yes.
I don't know if that, if,
That made a beautiful sense, and it's amazing that you said that. It's like you're saying, stop working ministry for man. Do what God called you, and do it for God, and stop worrying about titles and stuff. And that's what's so amazing in when I speak to women pastors is they all say this to us, and yet we debate. The debate is giving them certain titles and things like that because we feel like if that happens, you know, it'll lead to destruction and things like that. But women have been saying that we want to just serve. Am I going the right direction you were going?
Yes, you are going the right direction. And because they try to put a stamp on it and say women cannot be ordained, it makes us lean only on God. Because if you are a human being and you believe that we shouldn't be ordained, that's okay, because God's hands was already touched upon our lives. So we're ordained by God. I'd rather be ordained by God than human beings. Wow. You know, and because they put that wall, they try to put that wall, you know, it does make us work a little bit harder to do our ministry. Let me explain. So from my own experience, it's not for all females, but from my own experience, if I'm working somewhere or with someone or another minister, whatever it is, they'll try to put a blockage for me to not accomplish certain goals that I want to for groups or churches. And so because they make it so difficult, that means I have to try other ways. And they don't realize the more you block me, the more God gonna give me great ideas, the more God is just gonna make me go into or venture into places that others have not ventured into. So to me, I'm like, okay, keep coming with the blocking. That's fine, because I am learning more about me and I'm learning more about what God wants me to do.
Wow. I love that you said that, because that is something I've experienced as well. And it's something that I've been blessed by, because their blockage has left me to go down windows that nobody would go down. And because that I've done that, it's been led me to places, higher places that they would never have seen had they, or we're preaching to each other. We're preaching to each other. And this is getting good. So I'll stop right there before I preach. And I will ask this question, because this is the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, because we talked about the women pastor thing, which I think is very important to talk about. But the other thing that is what is on my heart, and I always talk about this, one of the reasons I started this podcast, is how the Haitian SDA church community engages with our young people. And that is something I think that you know very well, being a Haitian pastor, a young woman who is a Haitian pastor who engages with young people. What are your thoughts on how we do that, how we engage with our young people in our Haitian churches?
You taking it there? Oh my God.
This is Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. I have no choice.
Oh my gosh. Oh, okay. Rule number one for me in my life, this was given from God and is to me. The moment I said yes to God, I have to be honest and open. I can't hide anything. That's why if I'm in a space, I'm by myself, or if I'm in the dark, I make sure while I'm in the dark, I'm meaning if people are not seeing me, it has to reflect the outside. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I'm not the type where, you know, I'm preaching, don't have sex, and then behind doors, I'm doing, no, I practice what I preach. I try to, I mean, I'm not perfect, but that's rule 101 for me, for my life. If not, I think I would have been lost. So in saying all that, I have to say that to introduce what I'm about to say, and I can't believe it. I don't think I ever shared it. Whew. All right, Eric. Yes. The Lord is telling me to share it.
Yes.
Wow. The way that I can't say the church, the way that some members in the church, in the Seventh-day Adventist church, have dealt with the youth have been very toxic. Mm. Very toxic. To them, they might not feel that it's toxic. They might feel like they're doing their job, but they forget that when Jesus was on earth, I mean, he's still with us, you know, he manifested his power and authority and his purpose through love. So many times that our adults, when they approach youth and they see something wrong, they don't approach them with love. They approach them like with rules, regulations, and as though, and also condemnation, judgment, all that kind of stuff. And nobody really wants to be around that, especially if you're trying to find yourself. When you're a youth, you're still trying to find yourself. You're still trying to figure things out. And so you may make mistakes, or you're just trying things and you're just looking for love. So when somebody approaches you and say, there's something wrong, what you're wearing, what you're doing, it's wrong, but they never took the time to find out who you are, what's your purpose, what's in your heart. And so they go exterior. Okay, all of that again to introduce this. So my father, I love my daddy, I love my father, is not Seventh-day Adventist. And so, you know, he showed us love. This is what it was. And I'm going to be candid with you. Growing up in the Adventist church, they taught me, some people, not the entire church, they have taught me that, of course, we have to be different from the world. You know, if you see somebody with jewelry, oh my God, they need to be saved. Yes. If they're eating pork, they need to be saved. If they're eating shrimp, they need to be saved. You're in the right path. And so for some reason, it when I see people like that, it was drained and installed in me, like they're wrong. There's something wrong with them and they need fixing, right? And so they're teaching me to be judgmental unconsciously at the same time teaching me to show love. So I sometimes I was kind of like confused, but the love aspect was there. Why was the love aspect there? Because of my father. My father taught me not to judge people. My father taught me how to accept people. My father taught me how to be patient with people. In fact, what was so amazing, the Seventh Adventist, the Ellen White G. Wood books, the first time I ever saw E.G. White books was, of course, my father was reading it. It was just amazing, you know? But anyway, so this is what happened. I'm going to tell you a story. One example.
Yeah, yes.
Am I talking too much?
No. This is a podcast. This is the right amount of talking.
The right amount. So I remember I was a teenager, and then my birthday was coming up, and then my father asked me, what do you want for your birthday? Mind you, I'm a full-blown Adventist. I know the rules, everything. I remember one time he tried to pierce my ears. I said, no, Dad, I'm still an Adventist. And I was like a preteen, so I knew it. I was around 12 years old, so I knew everything. But when he asked me, what do you want for your birthday? I said, Dad, I want a ring. He looked at me like, what? Like, what's wrong with you? You don't wear jewelry. Why you want a ring? I said, Papi, I want a ring because when I wear the ring, I know that wherever I go, you are with me. Right? I don't know. That's how I felt. I love my dad so much. I was like, wherever, you know, some Adventists might judge me for this right now, which I don't really care. So then I went to church. I was happy. I got my ring for my birthday. I was so excited. My godmother got me a brooch. For some reason, everything matched together. My ring was custom made. You know, I was happy. I was like, oh, this represent my dad, and I could go anywhere. I went to church, Brother Eric. That's the guy, Eric.
Oh, boy.
And one of the sisters, one of the, deaconess. She saw me. She's like, what are you doing with that ring? I said, oh, my dad, he gave it to me for my birthday. And then she said, oh, you need to stay away from your dad. He's of the devil. Okay, he's gonna make you go away from God and in the church, you know, stay far away from your father. She was drilling that to me, to hate my father.
Wow. Yeah,
you understand? So and it was hard because I knew the word, and I know, and they use scriptures, though your mother and father forsake me, or they would say, you know, those who don't follow Christ and whatever, they are of the devil, all this stuff. And it was a little conflict for me. I'm like, I love my dad. I saw the sacrifice he done for us, but now because of religion and your own belief, you're teaching me to hate my father. And so what happened, I only share that with you. A lot of young people, they know what love is. They know how love looks. Yes. And yet when we come to church and there's some people who says, well, what you think love is, that's not what it really is, because, you know, you need to hate the things of the world, hate the people who's connected to the world, stay away from them. And they're like, yo, I ain't got no time for that, because I don't want hate. I want to be gravitated to love.
Yes.
So a lot of youth, they want to be gravitated, close to love.
Yes.
And yet when they come to an institute, a religious institute or a temple, and all they're doing is bashing religions, bashing people, they don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah. And to add to that, wow, this is powerful stuff. But to add to that, when we're talking about dads, when you have somebody who is in the church and he does something of the world, and now because of his status in the church and his reputation, and we don't want his reputation tarnished, now we treat them like they're like, oh, sweep it under the rug, you know? And then while all your dad, because he wasn't an Adventist, it did was purchase out of love a ring, and now we want to condemn him, say he's damned to the fires of hell, but yet we have people in the church who are doing worse things, and yet we say, no, you know, we don't want to mess up the church reputation and all that stuff. And then a teenager sees that, and then it's just the disconnect is strong. One thing I've been saying a lot, and God has been speaking to me a lot, is we have, not that the church or many leaders love conditionally, but we have trained our young people to expect conditional love because we have exhibited that rather than really exhibiting unconditional love. And here's the interesting thing about conditional love. Conditional love, the person that exhibits a conditional love will only exhibit the conditions and not the love.
So
what I found in the Haitian community with a lot of young people who have come to me, I don't know if it's happened to you, but they'll come to me and they say, I just got my master's. Why are they asking what's wrong with my hair? I just got my master's. Why are they badgering me on when I'm getting married? Because we have trained our young people to expect conditional love. So what does the person who's trained in that think? Once I reach my condition, I'm getting my love. So we have young people who go away to college, they get their master's, and then they come back home. They're like, where is it? Where is it? It's ready, right? I got summa cum laude. I'm on my way to medical degree. And then they say, you got stuff in your hair. You got a ring. And now they're like, they throw up their hands in disgust. So I don't know if you've experienced that. That's what I've experienced. Oh. A lot of young people are doing that. So.
Oh, yeah. I experienced it, and I think I'm experiencing it now, you know. Speaking of hair, I went blonde. My hair was red. You know, I dyed it. I remember I was, Lord Jesus, one of the churches I was pastoring in Far Rockaway. You know, I believe, oh, Lord, Eric, you're going to get me in trouble. Jesus. I believe... If you like something and you present it to the Lord and the Lord has no problem with it, I feel like, you know, you can do it because you're not looking to be accepted by people, but you still have to be an example, whatever it may be. There's some people, they can't do what other people can do. They can't, because God has already convicted them, converted them, and know that if you do it, it will become an idol to you. It will be your God. So that's why people don't need to be looking at other people and be like, hey, you know, so-and-so did this, I should do it. Oh, no, it could drive you, it could lead you to hell, but you just have to have a personal relationship with God and see exactly what God requires of you. So, you know, anyway, so I dyed my hair like platinum blonde. I go to church. Of course, I liked it. I loved it. It was my hair. God gave it to me. Praise the Lord. So then... Ooh, one of the sisters came, and I love her because she said it with all sincerity. Oh, pasteur, I'm gonna send it correct. Pasteur, c'est exemple. Tout si mon abgade gade cheveux. Oh, mes amis. She was like, let me translate. Unless you want to translate.
So what the lady said to the pastor is, oh my goodness, you are an example. You are a pastor. What are the children and the youth are gonna say as they look and things like that? So.
Yeah. So I. In my mind, I didn't say it, but in my mind, I was like, a lot of these young people are doing stuff which they shouldn't, and you're just looking at my hair and saying that I am a bad example. I'm like, yo, I realized that in our Haitian, I can only speak of my own, and our Haitian Adventist churches, they are concerned about the outside. If the outside looks good, then it's good enough, even though the inside might be dirty and filthy and all that kind of stuff. And that's why a lot of the youth are not attracted, because they're tired. They use the word of fakeness. It's all fake, 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 fake. And it's true. It's true, because God sees your heart. He sees the state of it. But yeah, what you were saying, the condition part, you do what is right, because they tell you if you do it right, all the blessings will come to you. You know, you will have high positions and all this stuff. And I brought into that. Oh, my God, this is a deep topic. I did it right. Eric, listen to me. they say, you know, I could be very candid, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Please, please.
They tell you, don't have sex before marriage. Yes, I believe it. I did all that. Stay away from drinking. Stay away from smoking. Stay away from partying. All that is true. Stay away from all of that. And so they want you to be this porcelain perfect person, right? But for me, I have to speak for me. I did it. I'm doing it. And when I graduate, I come back home. I'm getting blockage. Well, human blockage for my ministry. And I start to think the condition, but I did it right. I made sure I stayed away from certain things, but yet you treated me as though I actually left the church. I left God. I became a prostitute. I did all these things. I was in crack, and then I came back. You're treating me as though this is who I was. And I wasn't. And that's when I realized that it has nothing to do with our condition. Whether you was a prostitute or a drug dealer, whatever, if God called you, God called you. And that's it. It's nobody's job to say if you're qualified or not qualified. If God calls you, yes. And so when these young people try to do what is right and they graduate and they come back home and all they're getting is judgmental stuff and blockage, you could make a youth turn away from God. You really can.
I mean, there is so much power, and it's going to sound really, I know there's going to be a lot of leaders, even young leaders, what I'm about to say might get them a little heart attack. Fester, get ready. All right. But there is power in giving unconditional love. There is power in telling someone you can mess up. Now, we're not going to encourage messing up. We're not going to tell them go mess up. But there is so much power in telling a young person you can mess up. You can have done 20,000 billion mistakes and I will still love you because I love you. And I have said that to certain young people and the tears that come out of their faces, because I said, if you even murder someone, I will be, now, if you didn't get caught, I'm going to tell the police, you know, but I will be at your prison cell and I will visit you because I love you no matter what you do. And I know that God has called you to do amazing things. If we tell that to our young people, their hearts will open. If we just tell them that we love them because of who, I mean, that's what Jesus did. That's the whole purpose of the gospel. The whole purpose of the gospel is joy in knowing that because while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. So I don't do the crack. I don't do all that stuff because of Jesus's love, not because I'm trying to work for his love. And that's what our church needs to tell our young people, that, and that's the amazing thing. Most of the time and when I'm engaging with young people, and probably you've seen this too, our young people are outstanding, amazing professionals who, if they do mess up, it's one time or two time. And when they do, young people have come to me saying, I've messed up. And the first ones that are criticizing them is themselves. They're saying, I shouldn't have done it. Eric, I know I shouldn't have done it. I'm so sorry. I let you down. I let God. I'm like, whoa. Because I love them, they're already changing their ways, and I don't need to condemn them. I don't. I got to give this one story, and I'll give it back to you, Pastor. I mean, how Mary Magdalene, I mean, I believe Sister White points out that the woman who was caught in the very act was Mary Magdalene. So that moment where Jesus does not condemn changed her entire life. Changed it. She was filled with demons. She gave her life to Christ. I believe it's that moment where they're ready to kill her in the act. They caught her and he stands up for her and he said, and he writes in the ground, and then all of them start dropping their stones. They go away. I imagine her eyes are filled with tears. She's like, that's it. This is it. I'm getting stoned. My life is over. I'm in front of Jesus too. And I care about his opinion of me. And he probably thinks the worst of me right now. And Jesus gets all of them to leave. She looks up because Jesus says, look up. He says, you know, where are your accusers? Mm-hmm. She looks up with tears in her eyes, looks around. Only Jesus is there. And now Jesus has the opportunity because he is the one. He is the one who has the right to say. And he says, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. So he didn't encourage her to go mess up. But when he didn't condemn her and showed that he loved her, even still, her life was changed. And I think that's what we have to tell our young people. So I'm sorry I had to say that, Pastor, but it was on my chest.
Amen. No, that's exactly what the gospel is, you know? And it teaches, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He loved the world. It didn't say, for God so loved the perfect Seventh-day Adventists that he gave. No, he loved everyone equally. And that's what it's about. I thank you for sharing that. That's the deepest thing about Mary Magdalene. How many of us got caught? Got caught. But Jesus, he doesn't condemn us, but the others, they do. But, you know, to be fair, you know, everything is a cycle.
Yes.
And our adults that are, you know, in the church that, you know, that teaches conditional love, it's because they were taught that.
Yes.
But they're only giving what was given to them.
Yes. Yes.
And then not only that, this is where it hurts. Because when they're taught that they can't go after their dreams, when they are taught that they are filthy because of their sin, and they always have to keep on proving that they're clean, you know, when they have that, when they see a young person that is striving, that is going after their dream, they begin to have a little jealousy. Because they're like, oh my gosh, I could have done this, but they stopped me. And if they don't take care of that hurt, of that pain, they're gonna try to stop that youth. And usually they do it unconsciously because it's a spirit that's in them.
Wow. That is so deep. And it's something that leads to another topic that's for another podcast. And I have talked about it in the fact of in our community, we also need, you know, to not stigmatize getting therapy and, you know, talking out these issues, letting them out, because I think a lot, like you said, it's when you do a lot of things unconsciously, it's because you haven't talked about it. You don't even notice you're doing it because it's so deeply ingrained. I mean, that's why there's you know, people who are racist and they don't even know they're racist. It's just deep. It's just deeply in them, and they thought it was okay, you know. And because they have one black friend, it was all set. Because, hey, I have one black friend. So these deep stigmatized, you know, thoughts and biases that I have, it's not racism. How dare you call me racist? You know, and I think that's the same thing, you know, with our you know, a lot of leaders. It's like, no, I care about my young people. I care about my children. Mm-hmm. I do love them unconditionally. But that's why I said carefully, and please listen to anybody who's listening. I did not say, parents and leaders, we do not love our children and our young people unconditionally. We have a habit and a strong tendency to exhibit conditional love, then show them unconditional love. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Pastor, this was an awesome conversation. It was a blessing, and I'm so glad that I got to hear from you and your perspective in what you do. Can you let us know where people can find you? I know you said where you're a pastor of, but is there a Facebook page, YouTube, where they can find you or find your church and connect with you?
Yes, my church is SINAISDA.com. And my Facebook, of course, is Telen Buisson. That's T-E-L-A-I, and as in Nancy, T-E-L-A-I-N-E, Buisson, B as in boy, U-I, S as in Sam, S as in sugar, O, N as in Nancy. So that's what it is. But I'm working on something, Eric.
Oh, yes. Please let us know.
I could only let you know just a little bit because okay. it goes with what you presented, you know, the difficulties that the obstacles that come when you are a female pastor. And so I have to be obedient to God and not wait on a conference. So he's calling me to do something else. So once it's, you know, established, I'm going to come to you and let you know so you could give more information. And I would love for you to be a part of it.
Oh, I would love to support and be a part of it, because that's what I do here. I try to exhibit unconditional love so I can be more like Christ by supporting and uplifting great, wonderful leaders like you, Pastor Tulane, and it was a pleasure to have you. But as I usually do on this podcast, I give it to the guest to give some words of encouragement. So there's one kid in a Haitian church, man, that is feeling discouraged. You know, they're feeling like, oh man, everybody hates me. I'm trying to do everything right, but oh, every time it's like I did 50 million things wrong when I come to church. What words of encouragement do you have for that?
Woo! All right. What I can say is this. I've been to a point in my life where, spiritually, of course, I've gotten attacked, as all of us. But when I had to find out who I really am, who I was, and I realized that it was totally different from what people expected and what they wanted of me, I actually went through a crisis. And I actually attempted suicide. Wow. Because I felt that I wasn't good enough for my parents. I wasn't good enough for the church. I just wasn't good enough. And I came to a point where I actually stopped believing in God because of an experience that I've gone through. You know, again, it's with the conditional. When you try to do the things that is right, and yet when people don't know your worth, they try to bring you down to their level. And when you do lower your standard, you don't feel good, you know? And so at that point when I spoke to God, I said, you know, I don't believe in you anymore. I don't want to serve you anymore. And I just let go of everything. I canceled all my preaching engagements, everything. I stopped it because I didn't believe in being fake. I didn't want to be fake in church, fake outside, no. And when I stopped everything, I was honest with him and I let go. Let me tell you, we serve a big God. It's when I let go of trying to prove to people that I was worthy enough. It's when I let go saying, I don't care what you think about me anymore, because I'm about to end it. I don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I felt the Holy Spirit in a whole different level. Because it was no longer, I didn't know I had a mask. It was no longer trying to fit into a character that people wanted me to be. Now it's just the real Tulane facing her own demons, facing the enemy, and facing God. So for anyone who's listening, who feel that you're inadequate, you're not good enough, every time you try, they pick at everything that you do, and you try to make it up, and it's just not working, I tell you this, that means you're special. That means you're not made to be in a specific box. That means God is calling you out of that box so that you can shine. Many of you, you know you are meant to shine. And because you're meant to shine, you have a lot of haters around you, a lot of people that will stop you. Yes, you might feel like giving up. You might feel like ending your life. I was there. But I tell you this, you were born for a purpose, for a reason. You are not a mistake. And the enemy only attacks people he does not have. So the fact that you're getting attacked, the fact that people don't like you, The fact that they keep picking on things that you do and saying it's not good enough, you're at the right place. You really are. Because the enemy is trying to stop something that's great. So this is what I'm going to suggest to you. Let go of certain people in your life. I'm serious. You got to. Let them go. They're not worth keeping. And even some family members too. Because some of them can be a tool for the enemy. What you need to do is to truly have that time with you and God. Be real with him, because he will be real with you. Be open with you. He will be open. He'll be open with you. Be open with him. He's a big God. And just be more alert of how he's answering you. You will not be crazy. There's certain things you're asking God and he will answer you. Literally, it could be watching something or even listening to this post right here, this podcast. God is speaking to you specifically. And when God shares certain things with you, don't go tell everybody. It's for you, it's for your growth. So Eric, I just want to say thank you to you for having this platform. And I tell you, you have saved many lives because of this platform. And because of this, God will bless you tremendously. God will bless your family. God will bless your ministry. And so right now, I just want to speak life into each and everyone who is listening right now. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the many blessings. Lord, right now, I speak life into your children right now. They shall not die. They will live in Jesus' name. They will be blessed mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and financially. The gift that is in them will shine. No devil, no principality, no demons will ever stop them from what you have called them to be. May they live in faith and not in fear. I rebuke the spirit of fear right now. I rebuke the spirit of low self-esteem right now. I rebuke the spirit of suicidal thought right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever God creates, it is good. So God created you for a purpose. Go in peace, joy, and love. For God has made you more than conquerors. Bless us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.